Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello and welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon, the podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. I am your host, your groove mistress, your cruise director, Madam Perry. You can call me Jennifer, Jen, JP, Perry. I don't care. I'm just happy that you're here and happy that so many people continue to subscribe and follow and send me messages about shows that you like. And one of the things that you say that I really appreciate, I mean, I want to know what you like. I want to entertain as well as inform. But some of you leave messages that say things like you like the fact that I have people that you know that you're already fans of on the show, and then people that you've never heard of, and sometimes even subjects you've never heard of. And isn't it funny sometimes the historians, people like food historians and anthropologists or NASA JPL people have a great sense of humor. Sometimes the funniest people on. But anyway, thank you all so much. Last night with Donnie Most, that was fun. In fact, I had one of the first messages I got after that was I said I wanted to ask a question, but I didn't want to interrupt the interview. He enjoyed it so much. And, of course, Donnie Most and his former co-star Anson Williams from Happy Days, they've got a something on Amazon Prime. It's called Harvest Time. I've watched a little bit of it. We talked about that, so check it out. Also, his viral vignettes episode with Robert Wool, very funny. Check him out. Get a CD, too. He's a fun guy. Also, this is the last weekend to enter your drawing for the books by Julie Blomacki or Matt Coyle from last week, and also the discount code for Franny Goldie. Just go to Franny, FrannyGoldie.com, Franny Goldie. Yes, Franny Goldie that wrote On the Night Shift. Yes, that Franny Goldie. If you want to get a discount on her, any of her clothes that you've seen in Oprah magazine or on The View or anywhere, go to the website, shop, and when you get ready to check out, enter MPS for Madam Perry Salon, and that is your discount code. And thank you, Franny, for that. So tonight, listen, I am so happy that I'm getting messages from people saying, you know, give me more episodes. We need something new to listen to. We're home. We're so okay. I'm running. Some people listen while they run or do housework or whatever. And fortunately, for some reason, I just think I'm the luckiest woman in the world because so many wonderful people agree to be on the show and generously make time out of their schedules to call in and be a guest right here in the Genie Bottle. This is someone who's been here before. I'm such a fan. You know, I share his music all the time. He's written some of your favorite songs. He's written music for Dolly Parton, Michael Jackson, and, of course, Donna Summer. And one day I'm going to get him to sing something with me, but not now. But I don't want him to feel threatened or afraid. But he is here. He's got a new CD out. I am so happy. He was on tour recently with he was on tour in England with Colin Blundstone of the Zombies, and that was great. So let me welcome him once again to Madam Perry Salon. He's right here in the Genie Bottle where he has his own cushion to sit on. Mr. Bruce Sudano, welcome back.
Hi, Jennifer. Happy to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, I am thrilled to have you back again, and thank you so very much. As I said, you're so generous with your time as well as your music. And it's sort of a, you can't go without saying, this is a challenging time for people, especially people like you. You've got new music, new product. People have new books, new films, new music out, and they're ready to go out and do the junkets or go out and perform live or read to promote them. But we're all having to learn to use the World Wide Web or the Internet better.
For sure.
You know, your manager is a friend of mine, and I knew she said that, you know, you had been on, you've been in the UK and so forth, and you're having a great time, and it must be the strangest thing, especially someone who's as used to traveling and performing as you, all of a sudden.
Yeah,
you're not.
I walked into my guest bedroom the other day, and in the corner of the bedroom is my suitcase and my guitar, the two things that I travel with, just, you know, sitting there sadly in the corner, two items that are, you know, pertinent in my life and that I use basically almost every day. And it just was such a sad moment for me. I just walked in the room and saw them sitting there. I was like, oh, that is so sad, you know, but you know, we adapt and we adjust and we try and make wise decisions and stay connected and stay creative and like that. And you know, I heard you doing the tease on the way in, and I heard you mention Robert Wall, and Robert Wall is also a friend of mine, and we met on the set of a movie called Hollywood Nights back in probably the late 70s. And he was actually the star of the movie, and my group called Brooklyn Dreams, we wrote the title track to the movie, which is called Hollywood Nights, which is the song that actually got sampled numerous times, but most famously by Snoop Dogg a number of years ago, he called it Hollywood Nights. It was a whole other different connotation, though. But I'm pretty sure I also met Franny Goldie along the way. I'm sure our careers crossed paths here and there along the way.
I was going to say, so. You've got to have met or got to know each other because of both being such prolific songwriters and have written so many songs for other people perform as well. That you must know whether she did Dreaming by Selena and things like that. I was just thinking that just that picture you just drew for me of the guitar and the suitcase, I'm thinking, you know, have guitar, we'll travel, and then that sad guitar, take me somewhere. What's happened?
It's funny because I travel so much that I rarely unpack. So in my suitcase, you know, there, I hadn't even opened it. I've been back home since March, I don't know, the middle of March sometime, and so this bag has been sitting there, still unpacked since then, and you know, after I saw it, I was like, I opened it up and I still had laundry in a bag, you know. typically that's what I do. I keep the laundry in a bag inside my little carry-on, and then I do the laundry and leave the rest of the bag packed. You know, so
smart.
Nobody needs to know all that.
No. See, there you go. Wow, celebrities, they're just like us. So, so when you came back in March, where had you been? Was that when you were in the UK, or where were you?
No, I was actually in New York. I was putting the finishing touches on this new EP that just came out a couple of weeks ago. Finalizing some things for that, and you know this EP is it's called Spirals Volume 1, and it's a 5-song EP, and it's been out a couple of weeks, almost 2 weeks now. And but also while I was in New York back in early March, we were finishing up Volume 2. Spirals Volume 2 will be out in July, so that's why I was in New York. And before that, I was in Milan. Because I spend part of my life living in Milan, so it's interesting that I was in a couple of places that were really hot spots, and
fortunately, to the best of my knowledge, I have thus far escaped unscathed, but I've been home. I've been since I got here. I've been on lockdown.
Yeah. Well, you're probably, I would imagine, since you've traveled so much in your life, you're sort of like, for years, my husband traveled around the world. It's like he was always somewhere, like either in England, Europe, Africa, Australia, Vietnam. And he always said, you know, I didn't make it back the way I did healthy without being careful. You know, you just got to use common sense. He says, you're going to try different things. You're going to be in different places, but you got to use some sense and some care. Come back, and
yeah.
I'm sure you pretty well got that down to a science. And so you were in Milan, and that was in the first weekend of March. I was in Tucson because I was with my third year doing a presentation, and I did a live broadcast from this thing called Wild Wild West Con, which it's a Western steampunk. Are you're familiar with steampunk? No. Okay.
All right.
It's kind of like think about things like science fiction, the future that never was, Jules Verne, and stuff like that, and people dressed in Victorian and it happens at a place called Old Town, which is like used to be a set for film and TV westerns, and we're all there. But there was one of the bands that was playing there, the steampunk bands, was called Poison Garden, and they were from Rome, Italy, and so. You know, we met that weekend, and she's the singer, and I were talking. She said they went back, and everybody was on lockdown.
Yeah.
We're there, and I said, you know, it's weird. It's like we're all there. We're all wearing costumes for a whole weekend in this Western town. We leave Sunday, turn the clocks forward, and didn't know we were going from this time into the twilight zone. So,
right.
Exactly. So strange, like that big difference.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So,
and the
so
things
I've,
you take for
been,
granted, you start. Yeah.
Yeah, I've just been busying myself with things around the house and practicing the guitar, writing a couple of songs, walking in the hills behind my house, and trying to stay in shape at the same time of staying locked down and just trying to find the beauty inside this moment. You know, there's so much craziness going on, and so many people that are, there's a lot of suffering going on in a lot of places, and
mm-hmm.
A lot of people hurting, you know, and so I'm grateful and maintaining patience.
With this, this newest EP, Spirals Volume 1, and I think it's got a subtitle, Not a Straight Line to Be Found.
Correct. Yes.
First of all, you've got videos up for these, but one of the first ones, The Mountain.
Yeah.
It's an interesting video. It's real clever and it's eye-catching, but it's got a good message. Tell us, is that the song you lead off on this with? Tell us about The Mountain.
Yeah.
If you would.
Sure. The Mountain is you know, I was observing people around me, you know, really caught up in the frenetic nature of life. And and at the same time being frustrated by all they had to do and all they had hoped to accomplish. And their frustration about it, and you know, so much so that you know they would talk themselves out of even trying, you know. So the mountain, basically, the message is, you know, don't look at the mountain when you're reaching for the sky, you know. The subtitle message is, if you think too long, you'll talk yourself out of anything. So the roundabout message is one foot in front of the other, one day at a time, step by step. That's how you get there. You know, don't scare yourself by looking at the enormity of the challenge.
And by the way, just to make sure people know too, if that EP is available, Spirals Volume 1 is available now, and I will be sharing the information on the link to purchase on my social media, both as Madame Perry Salon and as well as Jennifer Perry. I'll be sharing that everywhere so you can get that easily.
Thanks. Yeah, in fact, my manager told me today, she said, why don't you post something? We only have 25 signed CDs left, you know, and I was like, okay. So I had CDs made with the intention of selling them on the road because, you know, most people don't even have CD players anymore. I mean, there's a generation of people who don't have CD players, and if it weren't for the one in my car, I probably wouldn't have one either. But I bought them. I had them made to sell on the road because that people seem to like that. So, but then now we're not going on the road, so we had to figure out a way to sell them on my website because typically I just put things on streaming services and let people stream the music. So, but there you go.
So, but they can get it both ways. But if they want a CD. Hold on. I mean, I've still got my CD player in my car. So,
yeah.
Some of us do. Some of us like it, and have that. Also, I gotta say, the mountain. You've got this. I think you're ready to go to when it opens back up. I think you're ready to, if you haven't planned this already, to go to Comic-Con with this costume, the Bruce Sudano Superman.
Yeah, you know. You know, what's really funny is that whole concept of the video for the mountain, the whole concept was really developed by a friend of mine, Elliot Mason, who is the bass player in Colin Blunstone's band. And last year when we were on the road, Elliot and I became friends, and he started showing me some of the animation things that he was doing, and I loved it. So when it came time for a video for the mountain, I asked him if he would do something for that. And basically, he came up with the whole idea of, superhero Bruce. So now what we're doing, we're going to do a second installment for the first single from Spirals Volume 2. So that'll be probably sometime at the end of June or something like that. But he did a great job with that video. It's really has, you know, he has a great sense of humor, and it's a great way to a great interpretation for the song, I thought.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is so well done. It's so beautiful. It just seems to fit so perfectly. Thank you, Elliot Mason.
Yeah.
Hey, what was it like being then on tour? So was it with you and Colin and his band? You got some fun stories for that? You know, I'm looking for fun. I love band road stories.
Well, let's see. You know, I mean, it was really a really fun tour, and it was really a good tour. Colin Blunstone, besides, you know, having the angelic voice and all his history and of accomplishment, is just, you know, a gentleman and a very generous man.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to travel around. We were in like one of these Mercedes vans, you know, and so we spent a lot of hours driving from town to town in the UK. We went to Wales. We went to Scotland, and it was really a good experience. And we got to spend a lot of time hanging out together. I went and visited him at his house outside of London, and had a dinner with his family. And it was funny. His wife, his daughter Rosie, is a doctor, and at the time that I was there, we were in the middle of the tour, and I had some kind of cold, and my throat was shutting down, and she jumped to the rescue. You know, she went and got me a prescription for antibiotics and some kind of steroid, and it just knocked it out overnight, and I was able to finish the tour. And You know, and it was also a great tour for me in this way, in that, you know, Colin really was influential in helping me develop my stage presentation, you know, because he really encouraged me to tell my story through my songs. And you know, it was a great opportunity because we did a lot of shows, you know, over a couple of week period of time. So we played a lot, and there were, it was numerous shows back to back to back. So I really got to develop this little bit of a consistency in my show, because form, you know, I like it to be loose and off the cuff, and I don't think it through too much. You know, and that has its pluses and its minuses. But on this UK tour, we were playing a lot of different kinds of venues. One night it could be a rock and roll bar, and the next night it could be you know, a proper theater, and then it would be some, you know, club somewhere. So it was really a mix. But through his encouragement and pearls of wisdom, I really fine-tuned my set so that I was able to, you know, it's not easy to be a solo acoustic performer and have to play in a rock and roll club, because it's the crowd is anticipating a whole other environment. So you really have to perform some magic tricks to maintain their focus. So it was really a great learning experience for me. I'm really looking forward to getting back on the road with him, hopefully after this is all said and done.
And you know, I'm going to be hounding your manager about getting you to down in the South to just saying, let's get ready in Atlanta.
Yeah, no,
I haven't
been to Atlanta. I've been to Memphis a couple of times, Knoxville a couple of times, Nashville a few times, but I haven't made it down to Atlanta yet, or to Florida, you know. So my one thing to Florida got canceled as well. I was on this blue cruise, you know, that got blown out of the water as well. But yeah, I mean, I love Atlanta. I have family in Atlanta, so you know, I would jump at an opportunity to play there.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, Bruce, I wanted to say, too, right now, if there's anybody, I'm sure you won't mind, if there's anybody that wants to call and ask you a question or talk to you, get open the lines.
Sure.
The number is 646-716-9922. It's a toll-free call in the continental U.S. Or for people, and I don't know if you remember situations like this, Bruce, but, you know, sometimes people are at work, they can't get on the phone or something, they can always just message a question into me via Facebook. And that works. Yeah. So, all right. So I have a caller here for you. And welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Say hello to Bruce Sedano.
Hello there. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? What's your name?
My name is Peter G. I'm a cartoonist who lives outside of Chicago.
Hey, Peter. Nice to talk to you.
Hi. Am I coming through okay? I mean, the phone sounds a little fuzzy on my end, so I'm hoping that everyone hears
you
me all right.
You sound fine.
Yeah,
okay,
that's crystal clear.
Me.
Okay, that's the only part that I'm worried about. Yeah, I've been listening to the interview, and as soon as you mentioned that you met Robert Wall in the Hollywood Nights, because I remember seeing the Hollywood Nights way long time ago. So it's like, I definitely want to at least pop in and say hi. I'm a movie geek. So.
Robert's a great guy, funny guy, and we had a lot of fun on the set of that movie. And it's one of those movies that, quote unquote, cult classic kind of deal. I saw last time I saw Robert Wall was about a year, a little over a year ago. I was in rehearsal. We're working on a musical, the Donna Summer musical, and we were in rehearsal. Robert was in some other play, and he was rehearsing in a rehearsal space right above us. And he knew that I was downstairs and came down and said, "Hey, remember me?" And we were like, "Wow!" So we've both maintained to keep our toe in show business after all these years.
Yeah, it can't be easy. I mean, I see so many people that, you know, they have talent and they can go places, and they just never quite get the chance to. So,
yeah,
everything
is rough, but you know, the thing is, you got to be lucky, you have to be talented, and you have to, you know, be persistent. But being lucky, you know, they all play a part in success for sure.
So what kind of movies did you wind up working on? Were you able to pick and choose which movies, or was it pretty much? There's a band called Jack Mack and the Heart Attack, and I
sure.
never noticed them as a kid, but as I got older, I started noticing that they were popping up in a lot of movies. And it's like, it's
yeah.
obvious that was from the days before they started licensing music in that, or you know, before soundtracks became a big selling point. And they were very good. And it's like, so were you just like the go-to that they went to, or was there somebody, or was there something specific that made them choose you for the movies?
You know, it's pretty much luck of the draw, and for Hollywood Nights, I think, you know, we got chosen to do the song for that soundtrack through another reason. We were in a movie called American Hot Wax, which was basically the Alan Freed story. It tells the story of Alan Freed and the Brooklyn Fox Theater. And the beginning of the rock and roll shows and the term rock and roll itself. And so we were in that movie, and as a result of being in that movie, somehow we ended up getting the call for the Hollywood Nights movie. And, you know, but I haven't done that many movies. Did something for the Five Heartbeats, another movie. I probably had the biggest catastrophe of a movie experience. There was a movie, I guess it was in the 90s at some point, and it was a Jamie Curtis, John Travolta movie called Perfect. And
I'm not going to say very familiar, but I am more than passingly familiar with it. The soundtrack that cost Whitney Houston the Best New Artist Grammy.
Yeah. I co-wrote with Michael Amartine the title track for that movie called The Closest Thing to Perfect, performed by Jermaine Jackson. And, you know, there was so much hype around that movie that I really thought that, you know, that was going to, you know, be a breakthrough moment. And I was counting my eggs and the whole deal. And then it was just the biggest bomb ever. But so you never know.
Yeah. It's just seeing some of the bands that popped up in those movies back in the 70s and the 80s. You know, it's like, a lot of them, it's like you wanted to see them get to, you know, get more recognition than they did, and not just be like, you know, the movie band or anything like that, to actually be able to do things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Jack Mack and the Heart Attack, you mentioned them, and I remember them from back in the day, and they were pretty popular. I don't want to say local band, but because they were probably more than a local band, but you know, they had a lot of credibility. I remember them having I'm not sure if I saw them or not. I remember them having a lot of credibility within the music community for what they did. And I remember, you know, they were basically a kind of a blue-eyed soul band. I remember they had horns. I don't know. I'm probably getting this all wrong. I'm probably going to get messages from people saying no, but that's my memory of them anyway. But I'm sure they're all, you know, they're probably all still playing music, you know, somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm.
Hey, speaking of film things, you know, you mentioned earlier something Hollywood Nights sampled by Snoop Dogg on his song These Hollywood Nights. Did the reason I'm asking is not to pry into your business, but I just right now I'm reading a book called Always the Queen. It's a memoir of Denise LaSalle.
Uh-huh.
And you know Denise LaSalle.
Yeah, what was her
R&B singer?
Yeah. She had a couple of big songs. I don't remember now, but yeah, sure.
Trapped by a Thing Called Love, which were a big hit over in Europe. The first one I ever heard was done by a drag queen. It was something about treat your man like a baby, treat your baby like a man. And but in this book, and of course it's just coming out, but she passed away in 2018 before the publication. But she's talking about she said a rapper, Ghostface Killah, took something from one of her songs. And asked her if he wanted to sample on one of his, and he did. And she said, then he calls me and says, where do I send the check? And she said, that was the first time I didn't have to fight anybody for some money. And she goes, and I made big money off of that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you trying to say? Did Snoop pay?
Did you make big money? Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think I made big money, but I made money. Whatever was deserved, I got. To me, making money in the music business as it applies to songwriting and publishing is always a bit of a mystery to me. I had my first hit song in 1969, it's like every number of years you're allowed to do an audit and things like that. But I just naturally assume there's a lot of fuzzy math going on. But at the same time, I'm just grateful that the money shows up and I'm still eating.
And I hope that once people are getting out and can be with each other again, that I think I'm going to probably see you on TV with Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart doing something one day. So, they're doing a lot together.
I'd like that.
I think you'd be very fun on that.
I'm sure
there'll be something there. I'm sure they won't leave you dry on that. It's so funny. That is when you mentioned Donna Summer, the musical, about your wife, Donna Summer, what was that? I remember following it when it was being put together and reading things and when it was on, and I would see notices or pictures of you at the show or writing about it. How was that for you when you first found they were going to do a musical about Donna and then the production of it?
It was something that I worked very hard to make happen. It was basically a little over a 3-year process. I was very fortunate because it's not an easy thing to do. But I had some great producers and great people involved so we were able to get it up and running, and in fact, we were going to be in Atlanta very soon. The tour, the summer musical tour, was touring the states, and until Twilight Zone hit. So I'm sure it'll be in Atlanta at some point. It was a great experience, and I was very thrilled to see her name on a Broadway marquee. The experience of doing it was definitely a learning curve for me. It's not something that I had ever done before. It's not a world, the Broadway world is not one that I was familiar with. And so I had a lot to learn and it was a different kind of collaboration for me. So I'm used to having more control than I had. So there was wrestling going on, but at the end of the day, it's on Broadway, it's on tour, people around the world are loving it. Donna's life story is told beautifully. The music is the music, and there've been some great young ladies playing the part. In the musical, there are three Donnas from age group. There's Duckling Donna, which is a young Donna, and there's Disco Donna, which is Donna in her prime, and then there's Diva Donna, who the elder Donna. So there have been some great ladies playing the part. And look forward to being out on the road. And, yeah, I'm sure it'll be in Atlanta. It was scheduled to be in Atlanta. So I'm sure they're rebooking it as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was, there are some things about the music. And sometimes even before I spoke with you the last time you were on and since then, just thinking about the two of you, I can imagine you writing songs together. In fact, because you were on the same label when you met Casablanca, was that right?
Not exactly. Brooklyn Dreams was originally on a label called Millennium. We were just recording our first album when we met Donna. It turned out that by the time we got to doing our second album, our contract was bought out by Casablanca, and for our second album, we were then on Casablanca. So it was at that point that we were on the same label, but initially we weren't.
But you wrote together one of your one of the songs that you and Donna wrote together was a huge hit for Dolly Parton, "Starting Over Again," and
yeah.
That is still such a strong song. So beautiful.
Yeah, thanks. We wrote that. So that song was. I don't know if I told you the story last time, but it's about the divorce of my parents, and then how Dolly got the song. Did I tell you that last time? Dolly.
No, I don't think so.
So, wrote this song "Starting Over Again" about the divorce of my parents, and Donna was set to go on the Tonight Show, and the day before the show, she comes to me and she says, "You know what? You know," and she's scheduled to go on the Tonight Show to sing her new single, MacArthur Park. This was the plan, but the day before the show, she comes to me and she says, "You know what? I'm going to sing Starting Over Again on Tonight Show tomorrow." And I just kind of like giggled. I was like, Adrian, I called Donna Adrian. I was like, Adrian, you can't do that. You're going to promote your new single. You know, why would you sing Starting Over Again? And she looks at me and she says, "Well, I thought maybe if I sang the song, your parents would stay together." And I was like,
Oh
wow. I was like, babe, that's really sweet, but you know what? I think it's too late. She said, "Well, I'm going to sing the song anyway." And so, sure enough, the next night she goes on the Johnny Carson show and sings Starting Over Again. And the next day, Dolly Parton has it been recorded? Can we record it? And that's how that happened. And my parents didn't stay together.
You said they did or they didn't?
No, they didn't.
They didn't stay together. But what a sweet,
no, no.
I mean, Donna, what a sweet woman, though,
yep,
to do it for that
sweetest
reason. What a loving,
yep,
woman.
Yes.
And you two were so blessed to have to find each other, to meet each other. Such a great song. When, how long did you and Donna write together? Because you were with Brooklyn Dreams. How long did you write together or work together before you started, you know, knowing that this was a lady you wanted to be close to?
Well, we right after we met, you know, we had some tap dancing to do because she had a boyfriend and I had a girlfriend. And it was just something that we both wanted, and we were married for 32 years until she passed away.
Amazing.
So it was good and it was right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that tap dance story, that sounds like I had another guest on here who was talking about that. Said, yeah, she had a record deal she was signing, and they gave her this band, and this keyboard player was so cute, but she always made her boyfriend stay home. She never wanted to tag along with her to the studio. And, of course, they were Amy Holland and Michael McDonald. So she got rid of the boyfriend, kept the keyboard player. So
Yeah.
You know? Hey, yeah. I married the guitar player in my band because we were already married first, so I know. You know, that's a high value situation there.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you have planned for? Because I was looking at all the information about new CD. Well, actually, let's talk some more about the songs because I've only got a few more minutes with you. The songs on this new EP, rather, Spirals Volume 1, Not a Straight Line to Be Found. You know, when I first read the description before I started to listen to it, you say a spiral. I thought, okay, whatever Bruce does, whatever Bruce writes, every word has a meaning. So that was the first thing I knew. Okay, spirals. What does spirals mean? Is that how does that fit in? Is that like a metaphor? I know every word you use has a purpose.
Yeah. Well, spirals are something that I equate to many aspects of life. You know, you have an inception, and then you swim around, and it grows until it starts diminishing, and so it's, you know, it's in my mind it's a metaphor for life, and you know it could be a metaphor for many aspects of life, of emotion, and things like that, and the subtitle "Not a Straight Line to Be Found," it's kind of like the serendipity of it all, you know, because many things you think if I do a 2 + 2 doesn't always equal 4 is basically what I'm trying to say. Is that, you know, you're walking down the road and you think you're going to do this and this and this, but all of a sudden, you know, there's a bump in the road or there's a roadblock or you have to make a left. And that's the way things go with most things in life. So, you know, you have to remain adaptable and flexible and keep spiraling.
Mm-hmm. And some of the songs on here, it's like taking us on a bit of a mini journey. Like if you were just, and I feel like the next one, it's going to be like a mini series. You're taking us places, the mountain and the song, Shelter Island, Back in the Neighborhood, I See You When I Get There. It's like you're taking I know singers or artists always put the songs in a certain order for a reason.
Yes. You know, I always say to people, they say sequencing is a lost art because very few people listen to things in sequence anymore. It's kind of like, a playlist grab bag kind of things. But, you know, I still try to sequence things in not only a lyrical way, that's part of it, but also in a musical way. And, you know, it's kind of just how I was taught coming up making records, you know, in terms of keys and how things feel and how one thing goes into another thing and things like that. But, the record itself, you know, Shelter Island is an actual place. It's a place where Donna and I and my kids spent summers sometimes. And we actually have a property there that we always dreamed of building a house on. And it's kind of a special place for us. I always wanted to write a song with that as the title. So I had tried a couple of times and never came up with one that I thought worked. But in this situation, it works really well. You know, it's basically a love song, and it's a love song about, gratitude and empathy. You know, and I can apply it to this time
when we're all on lockdown, you know, because I'm grateful that I don't have to go through this lockdown alone, that, I've remarried and my wife is with me but also at the same time, you know, I have great empathy for people who have to go through it alone because, you know, I was alone for a long time and I know how painful loneliness can be. And to have to go through this kind of situation that we're in now in the world and have to do it on your own has to be tremendously difficult. So so Shelter Island kind of like dabbles around in both those worlds, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could hear that motorcycle just go by me.
Yeah. It tends to lend a little illustration to traveling between both worlds. And by the way, Congratulations. I am very, very, very happy that that you have remarried and found the love. And I am sure that that your family has made her feel very welcome.
Yes, they have. They have.
Yeah.
You know, they,
by the way, I've only got a...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you, Bruce. It's all about you.
No, I don't even remember what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Okay, about family. Well, by the way, you've been so generous once again with your time to be on here. I've only got a few more minutes. So if somebody else, I know a lot of people have been messaging me. They were very excited to hear you tonight or that you were on the show. If you got a question or comment for Bruce, the number is 646-716-9922. And we're right here on the line for just a couple more. And, of course, I will be, as I said before, I will be sharing the link to get the new EP, as well as everything else Bruce has done you can still purchase. I will be sharing that on all of my social media, on Instagram and Twitter, everywhere else, and LinkedIn as well. And when we are all able to get out and play again, and we gotta have hope. We gotta look forward, right, Bruce?
That's right.
When we're able to get out, play, and have fun again, and on tour, you know, I will be. Since I know your manager, I will be one of the first people out there promoting. As Bruce is going to come to your town, Bruce Sedano.
Tell her to get me to Atlanta.
I will. Hey, she knows. So I will definitely get her. Atlanta, Asheville, Birmingham, there's a lot of towns in the South that love you and want to have you there. So,
look forward to it.
And by the way, you've been on my show twice. You understand my accent, so you shouldn't have any difficulty, right?
No, I lived in Nashville for a long time, so I can speak Southern.
And you do it so well. Anyway, also
for a guy from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn Dreams. Hey, one more thing. I was thinking, you said you had your first hit in 1969. What was that?
It was a song that I co-wrote called "Ball of Fire" for Tommy James and the Shondells.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Yeah.
That is good. Do you think that people now, or people just starting out writing songs and so forth, do you think that they realize how lucky they are to be able to not have to wait to get that break with a big label? They can go ahead and create their own music, record it, share it on social media, build a following.
Yeah, it is a good thing. You know, I when I was coming up, it was. You couldn't even record. You couldn't record songs. I mean, to get into a recording studio was expensive, you know. And when you're, you know, a young teenager, and even paying $50 an hour for a recording studio was, you know, a lot of money. And so, you know, it, you know. And then when I first started recording, right around that time of the Ball of Fire song, was when Tommy James, you know. Was the first guy to really take me into a real recording studio, and
it was, you know, there were great lessons to learn. You know, I learned so much about the art of making a record and how a studio works and all of that. But I would go in at like 4 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning to record because that's when I could get a cheaper rate when the studio was available so it was really an effort to record back in the beginning days. And now everything records now. Your phone,
mm-hmm.
your computer, you know. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. People make movies with their phone. All right. I've got time for one more call for Booth, and then I'm going to have to let it go because he's sitting outside of a party right now, for Pete's sake.
That's it.
So thank you for calling Madame Perry Salon, and say welcome and say hello to Bruce Sudano. Introduce yourself.
Hello, Bruce. My name is Janet Goodman. I have a question.
Hi, Dana.
Janet, right?
Yeah. Do you have a particular message in mind when you start to write, or does it just happen?
Well, it really depends. You know, I think the thing for me about writing is that I try to be consistent.
Is it difficult to write about loneliness, or do you have bad things happen when you do that, or?
No, I think that I'm somebody who has the ability to translate my emotions or to translate things that I see. You know, I've trained myself to listen to myself and to other people and to get to the heart of the matter. And I assimilate a lot. And then when I get up in the morning, I like to have a cup of coffee and pick up my guitar and just start playing without any preconception of anything. But, you know, some of these things that I assimilate somehow, you know, you get lucky and you grab a piece of inspiration and it's like, okay, there it is. And I can usually recognize what for me feels like, okay, that's a special little thing there. And then once I find the inspiration and get that special little thing, then you have to switch a little bit to where you go to the craft, where you've developed your craft as a songwriter through experience and through learning.
Do you write with other people, and listening
to other people's music, and then you go from inspiration, you go to the next switch, which is craft, and then I try to end it back up on inspiration again, where I kind of have an idea and I have some things laid out, and then I go back at it again in an inspired way and see how all the pieces fit together. So that's how I work.
Well, thank you, Ruth.
Right.
I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and thank
for
you
call.
For calling,
appreciate
Janet.
It.
All right.
You're welcome.
Well, Bruce, you, thanks so much, hon. Thanks, Janet, and for Peter G for calling, and everybody that's been messaging me, Daryl and Leonard and Marilyn, everybody that's been saying, love it, love it, love it. Thank you so much, Bruce.
I'm going to let you get
to your party now. I've kept you way too long, but if you don't mind, as you're stepping out of the genie bottle, we're going to play the mountain. Bruce, have a wonderful time. Happy birthday, Luna, and to your beautiful family. Wish you all the best and health, and hope to see you again soon. I hope to see you on tour.
Yep, me too. Bye, Jennifer.
Thanks. All right, thank you, Bruce. All right, goodbye.
Everybody's feeling out there on a limb, running from the devil at the will of the wind. Stranded in the jungle, lives are on the line, overwhelmed by everything, and just not enough time. But you can't look at the mountain when you're reaching for the sky. Can't look at the mountain, the soar is up too high. Cast the mighty shadow, let no light into your eyes, when all you've got is faith. Don't look at the mountain, or you won't make it climb. Oh no. out way too thin, trying to stay above the water, always sink or swim. Feeling too much pressure, no one wants to drown, but it does no good. Let's